Spring turns into summer and the infection rate declines. The den is still there, but I visit it less and less. In the cemetery, the bins overflow. Next to a bench overlooking the city, the letter B from a plastic wreath has fallen off. I nickname the bench Rubber. I never allow myself to sit on it, but I pass by it quickly on my way to the edges. I scour the hill below me for movement. Nothing. The sun is beginning to rise, partly obscured by a strip of low grey cloud. One of the buildings in the city meets the sun and a pink peach hue is reflected. It looks like a disco.
Everything in the world has changed apart from you.
I check for new graves on the hill. Thousands are dying, but none arrive here. Death is closer than it has ever been. I have lived with illness for years, but only now can I see it. I can see the shape of it. It circles around me like changing air pressure. Earth is turned over in existing graves. The grass is cut and rubbish picked up. I email the crematorium to inquire about a plot, but they don't reply. In the den, looking up, I can see less of the sky. On the once bare branches, new leaves make new camouflage. Security grows stronger above, but here, down below, I am becoming increasingly insecure. I lie down on the earth and watch the sun rise through the leaves. My cheek meets the soil, my ear muted against it. But the ground is alive with current. There is a buzzing deep below. Inches away, I watch a bee climb out of a small hole in the ground and fly away. I have been sharing space with an earth hive. I watch them entering one hole and leaving from another. They fly over and around me. The den is alive. I am socializing. And then one day, I arrive and a pile of 40 dead bees are clustered neatly on the far side of the den. And the hive is empty. Lockdown has eased and cleaves a gap between shielder and non-shielder.
Where once we were the same, now we are not.
Each relaxation of the rules increases the space between us, creating wide roads that I'm not allowed to walk down. Differences assemble as a physical force, gathering to linger at my front door, pushing back at me to stay inside. Every change destroys the things that I now know. They shake me up and wipe me clean, and it takes longer and longer to adjust.
Just retreat.
I become fearful and hesitant. The den is just 5 minutes from my house, but now it feels like miles. It stops feeling like my own, and this hurts. I skip visits. The cemetery is reopened to the public. I don't visit the den. People are allowed out more than once a day. I don't visit the den. It is leaked that shielding will end soon. I don't visit the den.
It is medication day. I cannot go.
I become more like the shielder I am supposed to be. Being physically shielded means that I am also visually shielded. I don't see the odd new world, the queues, the empty streets. I'm asked, what local shops are near me? And I can't answer. Since I moved here, I only leave the house to visit the den, turning right to the woods, never left. I stay in bed and go for a walk on Google Maps. In the beginning, the government told the public to look after us, to protect the vulnerable. no longer one of the ignored, disabled and long-term sick, but elevated overnight to the most valuable of society. Suddenly noticed they wanted us to live. Well, they didn't want us to die so conspicuously. Rudely shoved into a spotlight.
You are extremely vulnerable.
It jarred and disorientated to be brought so visibly to the public's attention. I raged at the difference of yesterday's care, the lack of it. It felt uncomfortable and I was distrustful. Before, I knew my lane, that of the inconvenient sick, hidden and out of view. It wasn't right, but I was used to it. So I grieved retrospectively. The attention is too late. We have lost so many already. Look at them. Just look at them. But you can't, as they're shut inside. My neighbour passes me a seedling through the window, and the tips of our little fingers accidentally touch. I think about it for hours.
I am the wood, and the wood is me. I am the wood, and the wood
I need
me.
The wood. I want to consume it,
and the wood is me.
For it to leave its trace
wood,
in me.
The wood is
I
me.
Pick nettles to
I
eat later.
Wood.
I gather logs, twigs and leaves. I decorate my house, transcribing the wood, bringing the den inside. At home, my brain stretches out in hundreds of sinewy feelers trying to understand risk. I sit at the safe centre of an ever-expanding web of danger. The web stitches together people. One person meets another. That person has met 10 people. Those 10 people have met 10 others. How to negotiate seeing one person when it feels like they have contacted hundreds? Rheumatoid arthritis is a condition that will be with you for the rest of your life, interrupting the harmony and balance in your immune system. I am being told that I need to remember that I am sick and that I should not stop taking my medication. The drugs I take, successfully propping up my dysfunctional body, could now kill me. They are a death sentence on pause, a deal made in the time just before. My choices tie my hands. I cannot go back, and I cannot move forward. I am stalled. Drugs change the message. Medicine creates diversions. Follow this muddy path, not that one. Cells sleep. They rest, they are exhausted. And meanwhile I get better. I'm guided into near normal health. The rest of my body celebrates. I can walk again. But I can't, because I'm not allowed to. The drugs ensure a deeper level of shielding, one that begins inside my body. The first layer of restriction is my skin. The second, the casing of the house around me. The virus cannot enter. I move from bed to sofa, sofa to bed. I spend so little time standing up that it starts to feel alien. My body is turning into a circle, a loop following my curved spine. I creak like old wood. The den is my holiday home, my wellness pod. No, it is my cyto, my container. I sit hollowed in. It is an extension of me. It is the disease-free, drug-free, breakaway cell. It is clean and clear, healthy and jubilant. Its membrane unpenetrated until I enter. And it stays intact, waiting for me. Every second week, I inject methotrexate into my left branch and Humira into my right. It temporarily slows me down. I become inert as the drugs assemble in my brain. Cytokines hushed, traces of slow movement diverted, cells sent off with new instructions. They become mixed up with the ones from the government. Last in the queue, we forgot about you. You can go out now. It's safe. Expose yourself. Trial and error. It's a risk. It's a game. Dodge the invisible threat. One size fits all. You do not need to be educated. Trust us. Like you, we know nothing. I stand at my bathroom window and watch the wood. It moves further and further away. For practical purposes, I have cut my hair short, but I've left the back of the neck to grow out. As it gets longer, I find my fingers frequently reaching up to find the lowest and longest sections. I twirl and twirl, bringing the strands into tight loops, then pinch them between my fingers to feel the hard nub, like the knot on a twig. I do this repetitively, subconsciously. This new movement distresses as much as it soothes me. I forget to comb them out, and I see myself in the mirror with twists like curled stems growing down my neck. I am not brittle. I need growth. I flex towards plants, trees, and the earth. I yearn for the wood, for the den. And my body, indoors, adapts. The stems of my hair are sensitive. Their desire to reach out and touch another becomes overwhelming. They corkscrew, encouraged by my fingers to form new growth patterns. They become tendrils looking for a host, curling to grip, to hold on to another. But there is only myself. So I will grow and train my hair. It will pitch and helix until it can reach out of the window into the wood and latch on. Then I will have no choice but to follow. I will have joined. A unity. An other. Finally, something outside of myself. I stand at the bathroom window and watch the wood. Ripe pears swinging high on a tree in the wind. I stand very still and close my eyes. The breeze from the open window washes over me. And all the while, my hair grows, coiling and probing outwards, until I can actually feel the branches in the distance.